This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Namai, haere mai, kia ora tēnā koe, Free FM 89.0. This is Cosmopolitan News and Views. On the weather front, showers possibly heavy this afternoon, easing this evening. Westerly strong in the afternoon. And for tomorrow, cloudy periods with a few showers easing in the afternoon. Westerlies developing in the afternoon. Sunrise this morning was at 6:22 a.m. Sunset tonight, 8:39 p.m. And on the temperature, we got today's high temperatures, 21 degrees, and we have got 12 overnight. So it's a bit blustery and windy out there at this present moment. The opinion is mine. What's on my mind? Column comment. A $600,000 plus jackpot racing struck in New Zealand. Serial killer Charles Manson found guilty. Paul McCartney is deported from Japan on drugs charges. Scottish poet was born. And Christchurch this day in 1974. New Zealand Hit Parade 1970. Gary Schofield, Dwayne Laporte Porter. And we have Trevor's Talk. Well, it's all go in America in the last few hours. The alleged killing of another man who was pumped six times, and I heard the shots this morning, six times in the body. Maybe there was 10 shots, but we've got this rogues organisation called ICE who are roaming the streets. The thing is that this man was carrying a weapon. It's his right. Bearing arms is a right in America. And of course, Donald Trump and Stephen Miller had to go off and blame the dead man. What about his family? ICE have got to be discontinued. There's going to be hell break loose next week when the when Congress and the Senate come back. They can't handle this anymore. The American politicians have to do something. They've got to ban ICE. They're roaming around the city. Can't they learn after the death of Rene Good? They've now allegedly killed another man. Six bullets in the body. And the cowards they are, ICE ran off. The video is there. And Donald Trump and Stephen Miller, as I said, they went off their nuts on social media. They blamed the deceased man. Donald Trump's got to be removed. Impeachment, the 25th Amendment. America's not going to stand for it. Much more of this. There's going to be riots all over America shortly. We have a president who I say is a sick man. Remove Miller and remove some of these stupid senators. And do you know with Rene Good, a man stopped the investigation. Yes, Todd, I forget his name. It'll come to me tomorrow. But the investigation into Rene Good's killing was stopped. Come on, America, wake up. At 25, day 25, we've got around about 2:42 to go. January 25, 2026. 1971, New Zealand focused on a $652,266 racing jackpot. It was won by Peter Moran. I think it was won at Te Awamutu. This day in 1877, Maori prophet and political movement founder T.E. Ratna was born. He died in 1839. Day in 1969, Charles Manson guilty of the Tate Leah LaBianca murders. Day in 1980, Paul McCartney deported from Japan due to marijuana possession. In 2017, actress, businesswoman, she owned MTM, Mary Tyler Moore, dies. This day in 1759, Scottish poet Robbie Burns was born. He died in 1796, aged 37. It was this day in 1974, the opening day of the Commonwealth Games in Christchurch. Where were you in 1974? And we have to play this song from the one and only Steve Allen.
Here we'll get to know them well. tale. And we've got the joy together.
And we're going to bring you back some classic Commonwealth Games shortly. It is 9-1. That is Steve Allen joined together. The News and the Hit Parade, January 25, 1970, from charts.org.nz. And When I Die, Blood, Sweat and Tears, composed Laura Nyro. The theme was distress and dying and disturbance. The third single from the Blood, Sweat and Tears album, self-titled. And here is David Clayton Thomas leading out Blood, Sweat and Tears.
Satan, don't want to die uneasy. Just let me go naturally. And when I die, and when I'm dead, dead and gone, there'll be in a world to carry on. to carry on, yeah, yeah.
Free FM 89.0, independent community media. This is Cosmopolitan News and Views. I'm Bruce Scott, and that is Blood, Sweat and Tears and When I'm Die. Do you remember the 1974 Commonwealth Games? One of the highlights on day one. You've got to remember this. And commentator is Keith Quinn.
Remember Harold Nelson at Eden Park in Auckland in 1960, winning the 6 miles? We may see a repeat from Dick Taylor in Christchurch in 1974. David Black, Dick Taylor, 300 metres to run.
Dick Taylor thought of adrenaline taking off. It must be screaming through his blood.
200 metres to run.
Yes, a very emotional Keith Quinn. Yes, this was the day that the Commonwealth Games, it's day one back in 1974. That's a 10,000 metres. The one and only Dick Taylor winning it, of course. Very emotional on that particular day. Before we move on to more things, our friend has arrived. He's a normal commentator on things to do with drugs and alcohol. Good afternoon, Stephen King. We'll play some music. He hasn't got any sound in his headphones, so we'll play this.
Happiness is sitting in the sun, contemplating, celebrating all your days were done, and all the joy.
We'll get back to John Hanlon shortly because Stephen King's in the studio at the moment. A lot of going on in the world, and week after week, I read these stories from all over the world that drugs are coming in over the English borders from France and other places in Europe, America, and the claims that fentanyl is on the rise. I check on this. I check everything. Those claims, because of Trump and his minions, are wrong. And they are name-checked and fact-checked day after day. We see graphs from CNN, NBC and others. Fox News has this crazy idea that everything that Trump says is right. Good afternoon, Stephen King.
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, no, like, fentanyl, those rates are fake news.
Let's go to the evidence. We've got quite strong evidence in this country now, and I just referenced Professor Chris Wilkins from Otago. And his figures released via the New Zealand Herald last Monday as to the extent of the problem and where we're going with it.
Yep, yep. So what's the drug of choice in New Zealand at the moment? Cocaine?
No, the drug of choice in New Zealand at the moment is alcohol.
Yep.
And abuse of alcohol is on the increase. Mm. Seeing this more and more all the time. Middle-aged men and women with alcohol related, because it's just down the road.
Yep.
It's legally consumable substance, and it's just right there.
Yep, I see it on the Hamilton streets. I saw it last night. People drinking by the BNZ last time I was having a meal in the area.
Then you get the mix. Then you get the mix with the drugs, MDMA, GBL, methamphetamine, and that's the key to why I'm here today, really.
Yeah, I just wonder where these people get the money to buy this stuff.
There's this interesting report.
Yeah, go for it.
This interesting report. It's halved in price. So what was $1,000 3 years ago in 2000, well, 4 or 5 years now, is what was $1,000 a gram is now $283.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much it's gone. So it's effectively, when it gets to the consumer, it's halved in price than what it used to be. So people, there's two things happening. People use more because the price is lowered, supply, demand, and more people take it up. And that, and that's where my concern is, people who our lower in our
economic
economy. people who are struggling anyway with the cost of food and accommodation, all the rest of it, and here you can get, they can get a hit that was $74, they can get it for $35 now.
Yep. The thing with the two through Hamilton is that the taxi drivers are now banning people who are drunk to get into their taxis. Public transport in Hamilton are banning people because these people get on the bus and start making merry in the back of the bus. So the bus drivers have said enough is enough. The bosses have said enough is enough. Taxi drivers, enough is enough. So they're banned. So
yes, when you say making merry, what do you mean?
Well, assaulting people.
Well, you see, this is one of the great unknowns that I'd like your listeners to get a little bit of an understanding for, it because it's a very complex problem. Methamphetamine is a stimulant drug, whereas alcohol is a depressant drug. Mm-hmm. So they offset one another. Trouble is, the methamphetamine, where you feel invincible and powerful and mouthy and all the rest of it, when that wears off, they've consumed a lot of alcohol and then the alcohol kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
Fall down drunk.
Mm-hmm.
So here you are, you've got them stimulant, think nothing, like nothing can defeat them in their world with the stimulant drug meth and its likings, and then added to that is alcohol. And then you go and mix the party drugs along the MDMA with that, and you've got a real cocktail for disaster.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen those party pills come out. As just gets them on a high so they can spend the rest of the night dancing away, drinking, etc., etc. I've seen those pills passed around.
It's a form of escape. Us in the treatment sector, it is a symptom. We know it to be a symptom and a form of them coping with their reality, because that's what drugs and addiction is all about.
Yeah. Another, I had this inquiry during the week with one of my family members. The news of marijuana, the legal stuff, and it's legal now for health reasons, isn't it? There's a form of marijuana.
Yeah, but that's the question mark, is the THC, the drug affected by it. And that's going to be a real political argument, and there's going to be some problems with that too, because we are actually bringing in drugs and driving testing in the near future. And of course, then the question mark is, well, what was the impact on this person's ability to drive a vehicle when they smoked some marijuana 2-3 days ago? Because
mm-hmm.
it'll still be detectable, and then they'll have to do the measure. They've been doing this in Australia successfully for a long time,
yes,
mind you.
I've seen those reality programs with the police, and if they think they're taking drugs, they're carted out of their car and taken to a van or a thing to get tested, and if it comes up, they are automatically arrested. So that's what happens in Australia.
Yes. Now, actually, you trigger me to then talk about justice versus health. Not everybody who is a user of drugs needs to be locked up.
No.
And, some people will respond to talk therapies, engagement, that their addiction doesn't necessarily make you a hardened criminal as such.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying very hard to make that clear to the powers that be.
Yeah, no. When was the last drink you took? Like me, I gave up 3 years ago because it was affecting my health. When was the last drop of alcohol for you?
Why am I resistant to saying? It's been 34 years for me. I haven't become a fundamentalist. I don't have a view about... I'm not anti-alcohol as such.
No, I
discovered that I had this illness called addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And the drug and alcohol abuse was but a symptom of that. And in order to address that, I needed to abstain. I needed stop drinking and drugging.
Yeah.
And I had to learn how to live life on life's terms. And interestingly enough, when I got to residential rehab, it wasn't about, other than the relapse prevention and the alcohol and drug being the symptom, the rest of the rehabilitation was about what Steve needed to do to learn how to live life on life's terms in the community with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Which I found quite interesting. So I embarked on that journey, and lucky for me, more by accident than good thing, I discovered that there is a life after alcohol and drugs.
Yeah, and now you're teaching other people to be abstinent.
I'm facilitating their process to come to consider the option, is there a better life than the one that they're living? Because people don't come to rehab because they're tired of alcohol and drugs. What they're tired of is the consequences of it, broken mm-hmm. family, access to children, in trouble with the courts, no money, nowhere to live, nowhere, no job, and Russ sleeping in a car, or combination of.
Yeah, no, we see it a lot. The other drugs other alcohol, is it whiskey, beer, or what's the form of alcohol that you are more worried about? The whole lot of them.
Well, in excess, the whole lot of them. The style is neither here nor there. Mm. What we're concerned about is alcohol, the drug.
Mm. Have we got too many bottle stores in the city?
I don't know about too many bottle stores, but when people want something, we live in a democratic society, and they choose to buy it. There's your answer.
I go past a few of them, and they've got it out on the. Out on the pavement outside that's a temptation for many people, isn't
there? Well, there's a bit political, but I do notice that there's more bottle stores in the deprived areas per head of population, so I'm told. So, you know, why do we want to plug the people who can't afford? It's a difficult one.
Yeah, it's a few. Talk about the drug court. It's been a few years now since our drug court was introduced. How's it going? Any reports?
It's trucking along. It takes time to establish a drug court. Very successful in Auckland. You've got to have a decent sized population and a good process, because it's all about doing a deal with the drug addicted person, saying you can go to the rehabilitation through the drug court program, or you can go to prison. Mm-hmm. These are guys that are up for 3 years, and women who are up for 3 years or more because of their offending. This gives them an opportunity to start to address those issues rather than just locking them up.
Yeah, it's a few years now that we gathered at the atrium. Of course, the judges were there, Judge Clark and Judge Philip Connell was there, and they were interested. And is Judge Clark still in charge of Hamilton's drug court?
As far as I know, we're not a provider to the drug court, but yes, I believe so.
Yeah, no, she's got a lot of things on her mind, being multitask in that place. But yeah, no, it's quite interesting. And of course, you're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Well, that's the thing that I'm so kind of proud of, really, because the people who have made a decision that they need to consider the stopping, because they've got to a stage where they have discovered in their own journey that they can't, they need a safe place, some time out from the community, away from the bottle store and away from the drug dealer. And that residential support house is a service that I manage currently, and we have been successful with many people.
Yep.
So I'm working with that group that has contemplated a need for change, is considering that, and then embarking on a journey, a pre-planned journey through a residential setting.
One good thing about it, I've chatted to Tim McIndoe, our current mayor. He's been in charge of the Christian night shelters, and I know the one down the road here, they have banned alcohol completely from their premises, and I think that goes for all the night shelters. No alcohol. If you drink, you're gone. So good on them.
Well, our service is slightly different. We get them to buy into that contract, that they will remain abstinent while with it. We're not about bringing it on the property or not. They are to remain abstinent while they are a resident of the trust. That no alcohol at all. What you're talking about is no alcohol on the premises.
Yep.
Yeah, that's slightly different.
Yep. You don't do any bag searches or anything, or
we do random drug tests from time to time.
Yeah, which is good. Stephen, how many years have you been doing the service?
Far too long.
You were planning to retire, weren't you?
Well, yeah, it's an ongoing personal argument I've had with myself. I'm 72 next month.
Yeah.
I'd have to admit to, I haven't had a drink for 34 years, I'd have to admit to being a little bit addicted to the passion of carrying the message of recovery and not looking after myself. Yeah.
Would you like to take on some interns to help you with, and they can be trained as drug counsellors?
I've got interns working with local tertiary providers where we have student placements. We're training people up.
Yep, that's good. How long's the internship?
Oh, they work on becoming a support worker in the first instance, which is a level 4, through to a level 7, which is a counsellor. So it takes up to 2 years, and we do placements for all the various learning institutions.
Do you know of any teen alcoholics that you've been told about?
Teen
alcoholics. They're addicted to beer and all that, and...
Well, all I know is that it's become more readily available to all age groups. And some scary stories about young people, young as early teenagers, having meth made available to them.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a problem that is going to continue to grow. The academics say so. The police say so. This problem is not going to go away.
It's not going to go away, because I know when it comes to ball time with their secondary schools, alcohol is available at these teen events. It shouldn't be. I've heard the reports that alcohol is freely available at these school balls, etc. That shouldn't happen.
It's outside my area of work, really.
Yeah.
But we continue to provide. We're arguing for more residential beds where people can take that time out, because people don't tend to pop along and just decide to change. It's a bit more complex than that.
You're doing God's work.
Well, I'm just doing the best I can, really.
Stephen King, it's a pleasure seeing you. And have you been with us this year? Happy New Year anyway. That's the main thing.
And Happy New Year.
It's a pleasure as we remember the year of 1974 with the Commonwealth Games. Do you remember? Let's get out of the drugs. Do you remember where you were in 1974 or the Commonwealth Games?
I have absolutely no idea. I was still in my active addiction, lost in the wilderness. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're helping a lot of people today to come out of that wilderness and keep up the good work, and we'll try and catch up with you in weeks to come. We'll have to make this regular, that you be come and just give us some stats. And maybe one of these days you'd like to bring in one of the people you are counselling. We'll have a chat to them.
We
won't mention any names. We can give them fake news.
People that work with me, we're actually all lived experience.
Yeah.
We're pretty tough on our own, because
Well, I want to hear some stories. So.
Well, people don't get clean on their own. They get clean and sober with others who are doing the same
thing.
We'd
love to hear their stories, Stephen. Yeah. Bring one in with you next time.
Lots of stories, yeah.
Hey, Stephen, thank you, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday afternoon. It's just on 14 past one, joined by Mel Driscoll shortly.
Thanks.
And all that you're concerned about is how to get some fun and to get you one lovely lady. On my right there sits an evil man. I've often wondered if he does it all run to a plan. Come on, Mona, what have I to lose?
turn and walk away, leaving me to start all over, looking for a friendly shoulder. What am I to do, lovely lady? Attitudes, well, I've quite a few, some concerning politics and some concerning you. Anyway, girl, could I say I'm very fond of you? I think that you are too, lonely lady. Girl, I thought the whole thing over, and I'm gonna have to come on bolder. What have I to lose if you turn and walk away?
New Zealand's greatest composers, songwriters and singers, whom Mel and I interviewed about 5 years ago, John Hanlon, lovely lady. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, listeners, and especially to our guests who are going to speak on this program, Cosmopolitan News and Views on Free FM 89.0. It's not the first time that the United States is on the lookout for extra land to govern. In effect, this deal would double the territory of the United States. The year 1803. It was of a strategic importance to the Americans, whose president at the time, Thomas Jefferson, set a precedent by acquiring new territory without the then Constitution specifically giving him any authority to do so. In his inauguration address, he said he would uphold the general government in its whole constitutional vigor as the anchor of peace at home and safety abroad. That deal put an end to Napoleon's ambition to rule over an American empire. So it worked out well for the United States. We wonder if the current president, Mr. Trump, is chasing a similar deal today, only over in Greenland? Gary Schofield.
Don't you love this show, that we can talk about all these great historical events and put things in context? So I was thinking the same, that the Louisiana Purchase, to what you're referring, is kind of similar and parallel in a way, because you had France that was an ally. Napoleon, of course, was the inheritor of France that was the ally in the Revolutionary War that helped the United States defeat Britain. So an ally wanting to trade land, specifically the whole Louisiana area, for money is the precedent here. And we look at Greenland, so I'm wondering what all the fuss is about, and I was hoping that Bruce would tell me, because Bruce is on the temperature and the heartbeat of what's going on in opposition to Trump. But I'm looking at the situation in terms of the precedent of the Louisiana Purchase, where Greenland, and I know people, they kind of make fun of Trump for getting Greenland and Iceland mixed up, but you know, Grönland is what Leif Erikson called the ice block that was Iceland, because he wanted to get the colonial powers to come in there and wanted to make it like an advertising campaign for colony and conquer. And so now we have a situation where Greenland is up for sale, potentially. I know that Denmark is upset, Scandinavian, but then we have to look at ourselves and say, well, are we anti-colonialism? And Trump has made reference to what happened after World War II, where, yes, indeed, the United States saved Greenland from the Nazis because Denmark at that time was occupied. So there are some parallels between the purchase of Louisiana, which, by the way, was 2 million square kilometers of land, and the current proposed purchase of Greenland. And when you look at it, well, people pay, you know, as you know, people I know have paid tens of thousands of dollars to be American citizens. Well, people of Greenland are getting paid $100,000 to be an American citizen. They don't have to come to the U.S. They can stay where they are, or they could choose a life in the United States. I don't see what the uproar is about this concept.
Well, it would be a huge bill to the United States. Does it have the funds?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know that it is the huge bill that's behind this negativity, because European powers are pretty much unanimously against it. But I question whether it is a bad situation. Let's again go back to history. The United States, since World War II, has defended the security of the European nations for free. Actually presented money, treasure, power, structure, weaponry, and in return, the United States, and I'm paraphrasing Trump, is now in debt to those countries, indebted to European countries, and yet all that time has been providing the security for which they didn't have to pay for. So now we go fast forward, and we go to what will the future be? Well, the United States has to defend Greenland anyway.
Yeah.
We've now created a Russia-China alliance, and now the United States is going to have to pay for that defense regardless. So in return, they're seeking the rare elements and minerals, and the resources of that, I would say, is part of that deal. Now, whether that's a financially bad deal or not depends on the value of that.
Good afternoon, Gary. How are you?
Good afternoon, Bruce. I thought it's how wonderful to start off with a historical thing. Oh. And, of course, Trump has been saying a lot of things at Davos that are very controversial, that people are getting upset about. But I wondered if we could try a little bit of historical context there, too.
Yep, no problem. But the thing is that Denmark, who rules over Greenland or is it Iceland, because I think Trump had a fraudulent slip with that. And it's under the monarchy of Denmark, and Canada, who Trump has got his eyes on too, is under their head of state, of course, is King Charles III. So, he's...
Well, then I think you should make up your mind whether you're pro-kings, pro-monarchy, and pro-colonialism or not.
Mm.
All right? So It's time that the hypocrisy stopped. So either we are for, because all I hear is the negative aspects of colonialism, of course, with the British Empire, et cetera, et cetera. But look at the French. They also, World War II, they collapsed. And the North Africa, if you'll remember, was actually maintained under the Vichy government by the Nazis. And then we attacked North Africa. And then Algeria, with all the bloodshed and the brutality of trying to hold on to, the French holding on to Algeria, that ended up with a catastrophe of counterinsurgency and failed in the end. They lost their colonies. So we have to rethink what we think of history. So Trump's seemingly outlandish statements have a basis in reality and in history, wouldn't you say? So are we supporting the... Shouldn't we ask the Inuit, right? By the way, we used to call them the Eskimos.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't we ask them rather than Denmark, who has a king and a kingdoms? Aren't we against that? Aren't we pro-democracy? Right?
I don't...
Aren't we pro-independence?
Yeah, I think the problem is that most of Denmark, their population, they want to keep Greenland under their wing, and that goes with Canadians. I'm impressed with this guy, Mark Carney from Canada. He's a brilliant politician. He's following in the footsteps of Justin Trudeau, of course, and we've had some brilliant Canadian prime ministers. We have to go back to Justin's father, Pierre,
Just on that score, and I'm happy to go back to Denmark, but just on the Canadian score, that's a very important, interesting political development that has just occurred in days. And that is, and you might remember on the show we were discussing that Canada has done a deal with China. And that deal, from Trump's perspective, undercuts all the tariffs that even that Europe has on electric cars and other things. And so that is a slap in the face to Trump, who is trying to prevent China benefiting from the trade that we have. So what's happened now is that Trump is now threatening 100% tariff on Canada.
And of course, Mr. Trump has set up this committee of he invited Kenny on to. And then I saw the email on True Social, "You are now uninvited."
And again, on this program, we discussed that Trump had gone to the United Nations and told them that they're irrelevant. That's what he said, basically in his speech. And now he's setting up his own, his Council for Peace. Admittedly, it's only over Gaza, but this, I think, is the formation of something that he believes could usurp the power of the United Nations ultimately and have the United States as its center.
Well, America has just left the World Health Organization, so what happens now?
Yes, well, what happens now is your and mine, we're on the edge of our seat because we're going through unprecedented territory in this administration, clearly. But a lot of these issues, though, I think that we should discuss. It's unclear how people can make decisions without understanding the true history of what's gone by. So, for example, we're talking about Afghanistan war recently, where it was deemed that he had said insulting things, and never to underestimate or not give credit for those people who bravely fought, including in our own country, in Afghanistan. But in fact, if you go through the history of what actually happened, we were all part of what was called the ISAF, which was the International Security Assistance Force. So it was a support operation that we went into Afghanistan. And after the U.S. had toppled the government and ostensibly conquered the country, that's when NATO countries went in. They weren't involved in Iraq, which incidentally Trump was opposed to the war in Iraq, but they were involved in Afghanistan ostensibly in a support category, but then the insurgency happened and a lot of people were killed from that. Of course, three times more U.S. troops, but all the same, yes, indeed, that's how that occurred. So there is some, and his oblique reference to that, saying they were not, a little bit back from the front line. No, the front line became everywhere in Afghanistan because that's what happens in an insurgency. And it was an insurgency that defeated the United States in Vietnam. So you would think that we would all learn from these mistakes, but that was not the case in Afghanistan. So, yes, you can look at history and learn a great deal from it. So I expect journalists to bring up things like the Louisiana Purchase as a parallel. I expect them to discuss the intricacies of fighting insurgency and how this has gone in the past and what the future might be. And also, I would like them to look at what is about to happen in Iran. So there is an adage in the military that you make your world's worst mistake just after your second worst mistake. In other words, you make a mistake and you try and correct it, and that's the worst thing you could have done.
Yep.
And I'm hopeful that the upset in Iran, the revolution, the terrible deaths of at least 3,000 people that we know of, will not be followed up with a worse mistake because we didn't come to their aid of now coming because the flotilla is on the way. So that's a news for another show.
Yeah.
But we have to look at the global picture because Trump is thinking globally. He wants to get a strong neighborhood so he can put power into what they call the Indo-Pacific. They call it the Indo-Pacific, and journalists have signed on to that term because it leaves out China. It's the Asia-Pacific with China in the middle of it, and that's where he sees projection of power to prevent conflict.
Whenever nations dig in against his will, refusing to budge on a deal, President Trump seems to wield tariffs as his answer, only to relent later. Is this a way of economic uncertainty actually lessening international trust in world trade, damaging America's reputation or competitive edge?
Well, there is Trump's reputation and there's the United States' reputation. And perhaps we could discuss this in what I have come across before in discussions about Trump being a bully. So you have in the world the United States and Carney, the person that Bruce was just hailing, at Davos came up and made a magnificent speech, by the way, and he talked about the world order. He talked about how the first world works and the hypocrisy involved and that it's now known to be a lie and a sham and may collapse. And we have a new world order in front of us. Well, the United States, with or without Trump, has the strongest military and the power to coerce, and it also has the power to tariff up until the Supreme Court steps in.
Yes.
And makes a decision which might undermine that whole process. So to answer your question, does it make trade more unstable? Certainly. And by the way, looking at the net result of this, China has had its best trade year so far.
Yep.
So all the tariffs have not impacted. That doesn't mean they won't in the future. So it is a blunt instrument, and maybe Trump is reacting. But on this show, you will have quoted me only a couple of weeks ago as worrying that he has overstepped and overplayed his tariff hand.
Yeah. Right, we've got to talk about Jack Smith before the House today, this week. Brilliant stuff.
Certainly.
He is a brilliant man. He is non-political, you can see that. His demeanour didn't change at all. He just answered the questions. In the back was one of the police officers who was seriously hurt during January 6th. He's got a head injury, and there was some white supremacist and a man who was at January 6th causing all the trouble. He was trying to take him out, and this police officer, I later saw his, I can't repeat what he said on his line, but Jack Smith, I think he's going to be in the years to come Supreme Court if he ever wants to do that. But what a man. I like what he said this week. He was not emotional. He was just sitting there answering the questions. Yes, no.
Well, I'm all for people who just want to present the facts.
Hmm.
On this particular topic, I was reading that there is a plan that the actual whole entire case and everything that he's put forward against Trump will never see the light of day.
Yes, I read that yesterday.
You read that too?
Yeah, Mar-a-Lago, the files that Trump had in his toilet. That is due to the judge who's on MAGA's and Trump's side. What's her name? Oh, Judge... I forget.
Oh, yes, I know who you mean.
Yeah,
her face is in my mind.
Yeah.
But next time we'll mention her for sure.
Yeah. And finally, we have to talk about this. I woke up just around 7 o'clock this morning, turned on the television, another killing in Minneapolis. A man was pumped 6 bullets by ICE. I heard the 6 shots. Maybe there was more. The man had his right. He was carrying a weapon, which is within his right, the right to bear arms. And I saw these thugs shoot him. I saw the video this morning. So,
yeah. A lot. Just on that score. And just as a background, and not to diminish any of these tragic deaths, but in the United States, over 46,000 people are shot and killed each year.
Mm-hmm.
That's about 130 per day.
Yep, I believe it.
And I'm not saying anything on this case because we don't really know the facts so far, but that's just a backdrop, and we have to be careful that we don't end up like that if we arm ourselves as well.
Yeah, no.
So everything changes when you've got people armed. Like I alluded to, you go for your wallet too quickly to identify yourself. You have to be careful you're not shot by a police officer. And that's not an ICE officer. That's just standard police.
And
in this particular case, you have a right to bear arms, but there's a difference between having arms on your person and bearing arms and pointing arms or using them or having a gun in your hand as you approach a police officer. And again, I don't know the details that they haven't come out.
Yeah.
And also, I have to be careful when I see something, because I saw a video of the woman who was shot first, with striking the officer with her car. I saw that.
Yeah.
It was online. But it might not be true.
Yeah.
Because AI can create whatever fantasy it likes, so I don't know this to be true. So it's a shame that we live in such a world. Yeah. That we can't be sure whether we even have the right to be indignant about something.
Yep. hey, Gary, yes. Talk about AI.
Just before we do, can I do one more thing on Denmark? And that was the territory of Greenland was already done in a deal already between Norway and Denmark.
Yep.
Right? Oh. So it's already been passed over in a deal. So deals been done already for Denmark many times. So
Norway used to do deals with Scotland. Scotland has a territory that used to belong to Norway. So Norway's been doing deals with people around the world for centuries.
Sorry, what were you saying on AI? Because that is a very important topic. Our future.
It was after that incident with Don Lemon in the church. A woman was arrested. She was stoic when she walked out of the church, but it's rumoured that the White House used AI to change her demeanour, and she came out looking angry. So, yeah, so that's...
Yes, a terrible world, and our brave new world that we're entering has got many flaws, and I do wish we would not rely... And we've chosen as a species to rely on AI for our future.
Yeah.
I think we should rethink that on every level.
I've actually put a post on True Social because it's easy to get on. So I don't know what Trump's going to make of it. I'll have to check in later. Hey, Gary,
see what Trump has said to you.
Hey, have you put a post on True Social yourself? Or
I don't do social media, and as we've pointed out, look at what happened recently, where there was the threat that all your social media will come back and haunt you, and you may not get back into the US.
Anyway,
so I've always been wary.
Anyway, best to Stuart. Hey, have you got any Scottish connections? Because it's Robbie Burns' birthday today, and I can play one of his most famous songs. Have you got any Scottish connections?
Yes, Scottish indeed, but Scottish through Northern Irish, who were the oppressors of the poor Irish.
Yep.
And you had a lot of Scottish British army from the 1600s that went over to Northern Ireland and did that. That's part of my family did that.
Anyway,
so,
we're going to play
connections there.
We're going to play a version of Auld Lang Syne by Sir Rod Stewart. And
Can't wait.
Yeah, this is recorded live at Stirling Castle. So we better get into this before.
Yeah, I love Stirling Castle. Been there.
Been there, done that.
Looking forward to this.
Hey, see you later, mate.
Yes, indeed.
Bye-bye. Yeah, as we said, if you're having a Burns night tonight, this one is for you.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot in the days of Auld Lang Syne? Far Auld Lang Syne, my dear, far Auld Lang Syne, we'll drink a cup of kindness, for the sake of Auld Lang Syne. And sure
very emotional. Robert Burns, Auld Lang Syne, that version from Live from Stirling Castle, featuring Sir Rod Stewart, Michael Bublé and Kylie Minogue, recorded in 2012. And as Gary said, he's been to Stirling Castle. It's 17 minutes to 2 o'clock. It's Burns night in, around the world. Yeah, Robbie Burns' birthday today, Mel.
Yes, and so much sadness surrounding the landslide.
Yeah, it's sad. I didn't want to talk about it today because you've got to let these people search. It's now search for bodies, and we'll talk about it later. After it's settled down, let the families grieve in peace, Mel.
Meanwhile, life goes on and shipping continues through the port of Tauranga. Dwayne Porter has been looking at the movements of ships that go on regardless on the weekend. What's been on the move?
Well, what's been on the move, Mel? Good afternoon and happy birthday to you, you know. What's been on the move is there's been a lot been going on at the moment. Last week, a boat came in from Fiji with a load of oil. And when I was talking to a person about it, they were saying that they've got a big factory over in Fiji which actually imports oil. So when the oil, vegetable oil, so when it comes over here, it goes in a big drum. And they use that as cooking oil. So they've got another load of that coming in very soon from Australia. So Australia is actually importing that one as well. Last week there's been container boats. Since when this bank has collapsed, the mountain that has collapsed over the mount, there's been several delays with the shipping companies. So that's why there hasn't been many coming in or coming out, because there's been a big delay and like all the dirt has gone into the big bank. So with the thing, we had a passenger liner boat arrived in last week. We also got a log boat, Mel. This is the second shipment of the log boat has arrived in. And so they are loading it now. So that should be up by, that should be leaving by today or tomorrow morning. It'll be leaving to go to China.
Quick turnaround.
Yep, quick turnaround. And then her sister, the other boat, will be coming in and load up with the overflow.
And what's happening in the scrapyards of the nation?
Well, what's happened in the scrapyard destinations? Mel, I can tell you there's been so many caravans going up for auction lately, all been running off the road, causing accidents, you know?
Not a nice day to be in a caravan.
No, it's not. And like to hear what actually happened over in Mount Maunganui, that they have brought, lucky they're all covered in insurance and they've been digging everything out to get the caravans and that. So the whole yard full of caravans all covered in mud, so they all been paid up by an insurance company. So, you know, and and it's just one of those things, Mel, that, you know, it's a job, you know, they're working 48 hours around the clock to get the whole thing cleared. They've shut the mountain down, and what they might end up doing is they might end up just knock it straight to the ground. You know, it's not worthwhile having because it's an earthquake, right? But there's no earthquake, there's no pole thing in the middle of it where it's going when it goes down. So I went down from the beach side, and from the top of the bank hill, it went down into the sea part and then into the campsite.
Yeah.
And then it's going to go, and then they thought it's going to happen to go around and actually hit the rocks into the sea. So that's not pretty well safe to go around there. So
did you say it was an earthquake?
I'm saying it's like an earthquake.
Like an earthquake, rumbling sounds.
Yep. Yep.
And moving liquefied soil.
Yep. You know, my friendly taxi driver Ash told me last night he was in Tauranga and a lot of the businesses are hurting because of the roads being shut down.
So it's like that. And, you know, like you can actually, like if you went for a walk around there, you could actually feel like the ground shaking when you're going for a walk around there.
Yep.
You know, it's pretty well, so that's what they've got to try and do, is trying to put big steel poles in to hold the bank part up so it doesn't fall into sea. And the big, that's why it's been a big delay of the shipments of cargo being going in and going out, because they've been covered with the dirt. So
yes, my family have stayed in that area. I've bathed in the in the hot pools near, right at the foot of the mount, or climbed the mount. So I know that area pretty well.
So it's pretty sad, actually. You know, it's that's the best camping ground I've ever stayed in, Mel. You know, not far from the township, not far from the pub. It's just around the corner. You know, it's a big, you know, it's being in another island. You can go and see, you know, swim in another island. So, that's what's been happening over there with the shipping and the oxen. So hopefully next week or week after we'll get another big one coming through.
Let's let the families grieve. They've lost ones, and let's get the courts, the coroner's court, out of the way before we can say any more about this. 11 to 2, Trevor is next. We go back to the day, in this day in 2017, when a famous American actress and businesswoman, she was the owner of MTM Productions, which produced the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Let's play the theme from the Mary Tyler Moore Show, remembering her today, dying this day, 2017. That company was called MTM. It was a take on MGM. It was instead of the lion, there was a cat. And one of our people who we talk to regularly, talking to in a few minutes, loves cats. So anyway, he's going to be speaking to us very, very shortly at Free FM 89.0. We move on. It's 2:09 on a very miserable Sunday afternoon, pouring with rain, and it's pretty windy outside and cold. So time for Trevor's talk. Good afternoon, Trevor.
Good afternoon. What you just said described the weather conditions in springtime perfectly in New Zealand.
What did I say?
It's raining and windy weather.
This has been going on for nearly a week.
That's right.
I don't mind it.
Not too bad in Hamilton.
Yeah.
But over in the mount with that landslide from Mount Maunganui onto the motor cam, I was really taken back by that. I mean, I've never ever heard of a slip in that mountain in my entire life. And maybe there never has been one. So I was thinking to myself, springtime. I can remember growing up, springtime was the best time of the year. Deep blue skies, flowers blooming and colourful. And now it's totally gone the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
I think scientists proclaim, as global warming, climate change.
Windmills.
Well, that's supposed to provide energy.
Donald Trump hates windmills.
Oh, and anything to stop pollution of the planet, he doesn't agree to.
Oh, he doesn't like. He believes climate change is a hoax anyway.
He does. It must really get up scientists work that sort of talk.
Well, anyway, You've been watching television this week? What have you been watching on television?
Well, at the moment, I'm watching the tennis.
Yes. Who's winning and who's losing?
Oh, a bit early to say who's going to win.
Who's lost the plot?
Well, there's no tensions like John McEnroe, and those days of extent have gone. Very formal on tennis courts now.
I didn't want to embarrass him this week, but before we do go, we've got to pay tribute to a man who's sitting next to us, and we've got to pay this, and away we go. And I hope it does come up. It will come up, hopefully. Yes, happy birthday to my colleague and friend too, and many more of them, Mel.
Yes, hoping.
It's 2:06. We've just been remembering Mary Tyler Moore, whose logo and indent was the cat, MTM. She made Rhoda and other spin-offs of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, but she was famous for one particular series starring the 100-year-old Dick Van Dyke. We are out of here at 2:06. This is Nelson Riddle and his orchestra. Theme to the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And how's the afternoon going? Hope you enjoyed the evening. That's all ahead of you. And be welcome to it, whatever you're going to be doing tonight with your family. We'll leave you with Kenneth McKellar. There was a lad was born in Kyle. This is Robert Burns.
Born in Kyle, but witna day, oh, witna style. A duty, it's hardly worth a while to be seen nice with Robin. For Robin was a roving boy, a ranting, roving, ranting, roving. Robin was a roving boy, oh, ranting, roving, Robin. Poor monarchs in most year, but yin was 25 days begun. 'Twas then a blast of January wind blew Hansel in on Robin. The Robin was a roving boy, a ranting, roving, ranting, roving. Robin was a roving boy, oh, ranting, roving, Robin. The gossip keeketh in his lef, quo' she wall leaves will see the pref. This wally boy will be naked, I think we'll call him Robin. For Robin was a roving boy, a ranting, roving, ranting, roving. Robin was a roving boy, oh, ranting, roving, Robin.
He'll hae misfortunes great and small, but I a heart up in them more. He'll be a credit till us all. We'll all be proud o' Robin, for Robin was a roving boy, a ranting roving, ranting roving. Robin was a roving boy, oh ranting roving, Robin. But share is 3 times 3 mac 9. I see by Elka score and line. The chap will dearly like or kind, so list me on the Robin. For Robin was a roving boy, a ranting roving, ranting roving. Robin was a roving boy, or ranting roving, roving.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.